Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live once again right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Beagles with you, 201-939-4513. We'll open up the Giants therapy hotline very quickly early on in the show. Sorry for the late start. Jeff Beagles and I actually did a fantastic 10 minutes that we thought was streaming online, and it wasn't. So we just want to run real quickly through a couple of the big issues in this game, and we'll be quick about it because the callers have been holding, and they've heard what we said. You guys just have it at home. So, Jeff, let's get right to it real fast.
Yep.
We'll get to the elephant in the room. I know we're getting a lot of calls about it, the decision to not kick the field goal on fourth down and go for the touchdown. Let's go through the decision-making process from what you saw, and then we'll kind of give both sides of the argument. Go ahead.
All right. Well, as we just mentioned, the callers heard this, but we'll start over. I think that there's two schools of thought here, and I think that, you know, me and thinking is you kick the field goal there because you got to go down and score two touchdowns. And so I think it's a lot harder to score two touchdowns than it is a touchdown and a field goal. But when you start to think about it, that play down there was fourth down and two from the four. So you had an opportunity, the Giants did, to get a first down. You didn't have to go for the touchdown there. If it was there, you throw it. If it's not, you try to make a first down. And the third option is, if it's not there at all, then you give them the ball on the four-yard line. Okay? So I think that this was all talked about because the Giants had made they called a timeout before that play to talk about all this. And I think that's when it was understood that they were going to go for the touchdown because of the way that the Giants' defense has been playing, not only in this game and the games in the past, is that just not a lot of faith that they were going to be able to stop a Jets team that had been able to go down the field, I mean, at will.
And by the way, they didn't end up stopping them. The Jets, for the rest of the game after that decision, had a 12-play drive for 80 yards, a 10-play drive for 70 yards.
In regulation.
And then a 13-play drive for 61 yards in overtime.
So you can kind of understand why, but I think there's a lot of people that say, you know, you do and you don't. But the bottom line here is, John, you know this, Tom Coughlin makes the decisions. He stands by them.
Yep.
It's a cause and effect, and he will be the first to tell you after the game whether it worked or it didn't. He's going to tell you that this is the way I wanted to do it.
And our instinct, I think a lot of people's instinct, is to kick the field goal,
yes,
get the points. Yeah. But if you look at how this defense has played this year, Jeff, this defense hasn't stopped teams from getting into the end zone at the end of the games when they need to. And who's to say on fourth and six on the Jets' next drive when they decide to kick the field goal, that if they know they need a touchdown there on fourth and six, they don't get into the end zone. They had converted so many third longs in this game.
Yeah.
Then the Jets win in regulation. You don't even get to overtime.
Exactly.
So that's Tom Coughlin's thinking. I understand it. I get it. You know, Steve Sarbi in the Post today wrote it was a mindless decision. I think that's foolish. It's not like he didn't know the score or made a decision like that. There is a legitimate argument as to why you go for the touchdown there and put the game away.
There's,
if you score a touchdown,
sides,
it's a three-score game, and your defense isn't put in the position where they can have the type of error. And by the way, even after you don't get it, and by the way, you would like Ruben Round to run a better route in that situation and not stop in the middle of the play, that's obvious. The Giants' offense still has the chance to get back onto the field, and how about getting a first down and running the clock a little bit? They don't do that, and then the defense allows a long drive, four touchdowns, not just the field goal. So the Giants could have done plenty after that decision to still win the football game. They just couldn't get it done.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, this defense for the Jets is the number one rated defense in the league in the red zone defense. So, you know, that's kind of got to be in my thinking.
And the number one rush defense, by the way. So you're probably not going to be able to run it on fourth and
which,
two.
By the way, the other two previous trips into the red zone, two field goals.
Including
a failure on the one-yard line.
Right.
So that goes to show you their run defense and the way that they stop people in the red zone.
Right.
And they're also, I think they were number two in the NFL.
They were one
or two.
They were one in red zone defense.
But offensively, red zone, I think they were two.
They were one on both sides. Correct. And the Giants defense actually did a good job of keeping them out
of
the
really
end zone
did.
The first three quarters.
Yeah, I mean, Decker and Marshall, 17 touchdowns between them. on the season. Just remarkable. They're unbelievable. But, you know, you look at offensively, it's we talked about this on Friday, actually. You know, how can the Giants – what do they got to do to win this game? Well, we said Eli and Beckham.
Got
to have
those.
Two big games, and they both did.
You needed takeaways.
Needed takeaways.
Got
they
one
got
of those.
One, and they and what we talked about earlier when we rehearsed, we said that – the Dwayne Harris touchdown on the punt return was like a turnover. That's a big play. In fact, that might even be worth two. And by the way, I mean, how about Dwayne Harris? Come on, seriously. The last time a New York Giant has 50s. Returned a touchdown for a punt and a kickoff in the same season goes back to like the
55. 55.
Unreal.
Jimmy Patton.
Which is incredible to
and
me.
And by the way, they gave Harris less run on offensive snaps. So we had more energy on special teams. Oh, good catch. Good hands, Fiegel.
And by the way. Thank
Good
you.
Job.
I know this from experience. What a great concept that Tom Quinn had putting those two guys back there. Because I know when if I'm going on the field and I'm getting ready to punt and I see 13 and 17 back there, I'm like, oh, no.
Who do you run at?
Oh, no.
And by the way, do the coverage guys know the direction of the punt? Do they know
sure.
who's going to catch it?
Oh, sure.
Well,
yeah.
If the punter punts it the right direction.
If they punt the right. And Quigley is a directional kicker,
right.
And he did have a couple good kicks out of bounds. However, what was happening is they were thinking about the throwback.
Correct.
And Dwayne Harris is a good athlete, and they're thinking they're going to throw it back to Odell Beckham. So what happens? Three of their guys and maybe even a fourth guy go to Odell Beckham, and that takes a quarter of their cover team out of the equation, and he goes for six.
By the way, there was a reason that there were three Jets that didn't play that had a chance to get him after 30 yards because you're all on Beckham's side of the field.
They're on the other side.
On it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The other final thing I want to mention, Jeff, is we talk all year about if you want to win games like this in close games, you got to make the plays. And there are a couple
we have
big plays
that.
Over the course of the game where you have to make them if you want to win. And I just want to point out a few here where the Giants had some opportunities, but they didn't make the play. Odell Beckham, as great as he was, he had an opportunity on the ball that Eli threw over his head, and it hit him in the hands. He couldn't come up with it. It was a tough catch.
Oh, in the end zone?
But he didn't. No, the one where it was, I believe,
oh, sure. Yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
the, in the
yeah. Okay.
Either third quarter, early fourth quarter, where if he catches that pass, he might be able to run into the end zone. That was on the same drive in which the Giants ended up throwing the interception, if I'm not mistaken. So that was a play. Or actually, no, I take that back. I think that might have been the overtime, actually.
And we all think he's going to make every catch, you know.
Correct.
He makes incredible.
But again, there is. I'm not putting the blame on Odell Beckham here. I'm not at all.
I was just making the reference.
You know, that was in the overtime. It was a third and one. If Beckham catches that ball and makes a guy miss, that was the play in which he then kicked the ball, got the delay game. He might have gone for a
touchdown. They went. And which, by the way, on that pass, that fourth down pass to Beckham was an insane pass by Eli.
And by the way, I thought Beckham got held out of his break on that play, too.
Holy
myself.
Smokes. I mean, the whole play itself
was
really
nice. Again,
it
would have been a tough catch, and Beckham he was looking over his right shoulder. He had to switch to over his left shoulder in order to make the catch,
and it was perfectly
which is hard.
Thrown.
He just couldn't come up with it. It happens, all right? On the same play, he couldn't come up with that pass. Again, Calvin Pryor made a great play on the ball, knocked out of his hands in the end zone. That turned into the field goal. Could have been a touchdown. But again, Beckham did so much that I can't put heat on the guy.
But
and
we
he
can
plays
reference
so
it.
Hard. I'm just referencing two potential plays. Here are the two big ones to me, Jeff. Prince Ibukamara. Ryan Fitzpatrick airmails a ball over the middle on a deep post. Hits Prince in the shoulder and bounces off.
Yeah.
That could have been a momentum shifting interception.
And he was tracking that ball too. It's not like he just looked up and
hit
him in the shoulder pad. It was you know, it's just as they always say, that's why he plays defensive back, because he
and
wouldn't be a
receiver. And then you have the other guy who didn't track the ball well in the overtime period when Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe the ball got tipped at the line of scrimmage or he overthrew it. I don't quite remember.
Oh, no, it got tipped.
It got tipped.
And
Craig Dowell
zone.
Did not track the ball,
and
he saw it at the last second. And I think I might have even clipped him in the helmet.
It hit him in the helmet.
On the way past him.
Yeah.
And that could have been an interception. The Giants get the ball back, and all of a sudden
the Prince one, there was
overtime.
More of a propensity for him to catch that
right.
one than Dowell. But, yeah, I mean, it hit him right in the Yeah, you got to make plays.
Your players got to make plays.
Got to make plays.
And they had the opportunity. That could have been two more takeaways, and frankly, that would have been it. That would have been the game.
And, you know, you talk about, I'm going to go way back, the first game of the season about making plays. Yeah. You got a young Unga down in the goal line. You know, he's against Jason Witten down there. If you just make that play.
How about John
Casillas
against the Patriots on 4th and 10?
How about
Collins?
Collins, make the play.
Against the Patriots.
Just, when it comes down to it, not only the Giants, 31 other teams in the National Football League have to just make, they got to make plays to win.
But it's the team that makes the plays that win the games.
Yeah, and those, that's the exciting thing about football, is that there's guys every week that make those plays above the X's and O's that we always talk about to win games. Look at Gabbert yesterday. I mean, just there's games that all across the board, if you watch the red zone, which we don't get to do a lot because I'm on Sunday games at 1.
How about the Eagles? They had a defensive touchdown, a special teams plays. I mean, you make plays, you win games. And the Giants did make some plays. They just didn't quite make enough. They had the deep pass to Beckham for the touchdown, the deep pass to Ty, the punt return. So they made some plays. There were just a couple that they left out there that could have changed the game. All right, let's get to the calls. We got a million other things on this game we can talk about. Offensive line with the injuries, Flowers, defensive line, running the ball, a million things. Hopefully you'll want to talk about it and then we'll get to them. But I want to make sure we give you guys as much time to talk as possible. Let's start with Alan in Miami first. Alan, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. How are you?
Hi, Alan. Thanks for holding.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing all right, Alan. What's up?
Just you look at the last four seasons, and 28-32 is the record. 27-33 is our record. Miami Dolphins are 28-32. It just comes to a point where it's like it's the same thing. Whether it's the Chicago Bears game on Thursday night, where Brandon Myles chips the ball, the drop pass against New England, it just seems this always happens. And my expectation is a lot higher than making a Super Bowl once every 4 years. I don't understand why we continue to do this over and over and over again. And another point is the rushing game. I mean, Rashad Jennings is 32nd in the league with 116 attempts. Williams is 48th in the league. Vereen, 63rd. Darkwood, 81st. I mean, Cam Newton has almost as many rushing attempts as Rashad Jennings. Like, we don't have a running game. We can never establish a running game. We don't have a bruiser at the end of the game that can just close out these games, because now, before, if you told a Giants fan, hey, I'm going to give Eli Manning the ball in the fourth quarter, I mean, man, you can go to sleep and put it in the bank. And now it seems like this is a problem, and I don't understand why we can't address our running back situation by establishing the run and why we can't seem to close out games. I mean, your defense is supposed to do the job. They get paid, too. Make a play. Stop somebody. You know, even though that the call wasn't the best call, but stop somebody. They kept going to Decker in the middle of the field the entire time in that last drive. Can we make one play? Can we make a stop? Can we get a rush? I don't. Please help me. Like walk me off
Jeff,
the
ledge. Please help Alan.
Please help me.
Please help him, Jeff.
Well, I think the attempt at a running game is right in front of you. They're attempting to try to find a running back. They're doing it four times every game, getting somebody in.
But
you're, you know, but
you got to stay with one guy. Let him get a rhythm.
Well, I think we've talked about this on air before. And the fact is that they're not doing that.
But quite frankly, in this game, you know, you mentioned Darkwell got the most carries in this game. He had 8. He had a couple good runs early, but then he had about 5 or 6 runs in a row where he didn't gain any yards. So he got worse as he went along and didn't get better as he got more carries. They have to figure out a way, Alan, to get the running game going. You're not going to win throwing it 40, 50 times a game. The NFL doesn't work that way. And quite frankly, whether you want to put the finger on the backs or the offensive line, I'm sure it's a combination of both. They haven't gotten the job done. It really makes your job a lot tougher when you can't run the ball.
How do we fix this? How can I have confidence?
I have had this conversation, and I'm not going to tell you who, but I've had this conversation with some linemen. And I've just frankly have asked them, what is wrong with our running game? And they said, you know, it's kind of a lot of different things. But I said, from an offensive lineman standpoint, what do you feel? The answer to me was this, that a lot of times, just like in anything, if you get one play and you run it and you get beat at it, you kind of understand how the team was playing you on that play. Then if you go back to it again, you're going to have a little bit more experience in it. Just doesn't seem that they go back to the same thing. And so that the guys can kind of get a little bit. If you talk about tempo and rhythm from an offensive lineman standpoint, if you run the play, not back-to-back, I'm saying if you come back to it, you kind of know how they're going to play it next time. Maybe have a little bit more success on that play again. And that would fall in the lines of having somebody back there that's between 10 and 15 or 16 times, getting in a little bit of a rhythm. I have no answer for it. I really don't. I mean, if I did, I would be an offensive lineman coach probably somewhere, you know, but it's a tough pill to swallow for Giants fans, because the Giants have always run the football well. We really have.
All right, final question, Alan.
Yep.
Yeah, at what point maybe get Odell Beckham involved in the running game, do some reverses, do some screens or quick drop-offs, get him involved.
Well, you saw that earlier in the season.
Well,
you know?
Do you want to kill the poor kid? I mean,
what else can he do?
Right? I appreciate the call. I mean, he already's like, getting 18 targets a game, so he's third in the league in targets, or depending on the stat you look at. He's third or fifth. I've seen him eighth, depending on how you calculate targets. But, I mean, you can't ask the kid to do everything. Do we want to play him on defense? Do you want to put him in a corner?
By the way.
I mean, geez. You already put him on special teams this week. What's next?
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know about you, but I thoroughly enjoyed the sprinter celebration after the touchdown that Odell Beckham did. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I didn't notice.
Oh my God, it was outstanding.
What did he do?
He caught the pass. That's 72 yards. Yeah. Uh-huh. And as he ran into the end zone, he threw the ball back, and then he was acting like he was running a high hurdle, and he was hurdle, and then hands back, like going through the tape at the end.
That. 201.
I know you guys saw it. It was absolutely it was awesome.
4-5-1-3. See, at that point, I'm trying to get Bob to read his copy and get it to break, so right. I missed the celebration. Let's go to Ken in New Jersey. Ken, what's up?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Doing well,
I'm
Ken.
I'm not
what's
on
up?
The ledge. I'm All not right. on the ledge, I promise.
Yeah, you
okay,
know
I was going
to
say.
I'm going to try to stay positive. The hurdles were awesome.
Wasn't that
Trust
good?
Me, I was jumping up and down in my house. Like, I mean, this kid never ceases to amaze me.
I know.
But as soon as he caught the one-handed catch, it did cross my mind that we haven't won a game where he's done that. It did cross my mind at that time.
You know, Ken, it's funny. You know, people talk about, Beckham, he's kind of like a diva wide receiver. Let me tell you something.
No.
There is nobody that cares more about winning in that locker room than him, and there's nobody that tries harder. That kid works
his
butt off
like
every game.
I'll take 10 just like him.
Absolutely.
That kid gives 150% on every snap. It doesn't matter if he's 100% healthy. It doesn't matter. That kid gives 100%.
Absolutely.
Double covered, he's catching balls. Reuben Randle, on the other hand, he's running like he's playing Pop Warner. His routes aren't crisp. That's 2 weeks in a row we've targeted him in the end zone for a pick. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about him.
Yeah.
But I did want to bring up, Brandon Marshall punches one of our players in the face, and they throw the flag and call it on
McBride.
On the Giants.
Totally,
That was a very bad call.
Every week, every loss, we either have a terrible call or a terrible no call. You remember Daniel Fells getting mugged in the end zone in week one?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every one of our losses are that much more heart-wrenching. Because I'm cussing out the referees on top of it,
and you're on the ledge too.
Yeah, I'm not on the ledge, but I mean, let's just hope that the Redskins turn into the Redskins.
Hey, and listen, the way the year is going right now,
imagine if the Cowboys in the winning this division.
I mean you got to kind of expect this
is
going to happen, right? I mean, this is going to go down to the wire. These teams are just like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Nobody knows what's going on. It's incredible. Unbelievable.
The Eagles fans think they won the Super Bowl yesterday. Meanwhile, they played, you know, New England without Gronkowski and Edelman. But,
yeah.
Hey, okay.
Well,
you guys are good. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. They think they're good. Exactly. Well, you know what? They're thinking that, hey, they can be in first place again.
Hey, remember, you don't have to be a great team to win the NFC East.
No.
You just have to be better than the other three.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it.
Yeah. You've got to beat out three.
Oh, you know.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're welcome.
A nice week.
Thanks.
All right, appreciate the call.
You watch Dallas. It's just the way that everything's going. Dallas is going to beat Washington tonight, and it's going to be just, wow, amazing.
All right, Greg in Virginia. Greg, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, doing well, Greg.
Good. Hey, I wanted to make a point. I agree with Fiegel's about, you know, players making a play. You know, it would be easy to criticize Coughlin for going for it earlier in the game and whatnot. But you know, we just don't have playmakers other than Odell Beckham, and you know, specifically, I noticed in the end zones, it's either in overtime or on the drive late in the fourth quarter, the Jets are driving. We got Craig Dahl in the game. And the ball just flies right over his head. And he looks like he has no control over his body. He looks like looks extremely unathletic. Obviously, I know that's not the case. He's an NFL player. You know, I'm sitting at a desk job. But it's easy to criticize. But, you know, it's like somebody just make a play. And at the end of the day, like, I want to blame the coaching staff or something, you know, but that's who we're putting on the field.
Yeah.
It's Craig Dahls and Reuben Randles and
no, I think you're right. It's just, it's about making plays. It's about, and you know what? You don't have to be a superstar to make plays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and you know what? You never know when that play, if you will, is going to be the play. I mean, a tip ball that on a third and long or a third and short in the second quarter could have been the turning point in the game. You never know. But when it comes to a critical point in the game, that's when you expect your players, your big time players on your team now, whether you think they're big time or they think they're big time, but somebody like in that caliber has to make a play to win a game. We haven't seen.
I completely agree, and you know, like I hate that a good man like Hoffman would potentially be on the hot seat because he's dealing with what Reach has given him, and I'm sorry. Can we just run through the position groups on our team and so I can make my point
quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Giants. You know, I listen to the show, and sometimes I call them because I don't want to be too negative. Sometimes, you know. But we have players on our team who we think are good, or we talk about like they're good. But compared to other players and across the league, they're not. And I'll give you some examples. You know, we talked about and I like these picks. I liked Rich Bird when we picked him. I thought that was really solid. And then, you know, I can't argue with – you know, getting Pew and everything, but we can't run the ball at all. And we're like, well, you know, we'll work on that. We're drafting players first round, second round. And it's like those guys are on the interior, and we get no push at all. And that's a first round pick in the early second. And you know, and I remember watching against the Eagles. I watched Justin Pew not just get like beat. I watched him get thrown like a rag doll, and if you're a good player, yeah, you're going to get beat sometimes. I get that. But, like, they're getting just mauled. But we're like, oh, well, we've got Justin Pugh on the inside, and we've got, you know, Richburg. And, you know, that's my point. I guess they're okay for the Giants, but they're not good players when you compare it to the rest of the league. And I can go through each position group, and Dominique Rodgers-Smarty and Odell Beckham are the only players on the team that – other teams would really want to have.
Well, and Eli. And Eli.
Yeah. But even then, like, I see these stats, and I love Eli. Like, I do. But, you know, leading the league and red zone interceptions, like, we're not good enough to have that. Unfortunately, because we failed in drafts and we've given bad contracts to players and not been able to bring people in, we can't afford to have Eli, you know, be human. It just doesn't work, or else you get below average seasons, and that's what we're now accustomed to. And I've been seeing these reports, and it, you know, I know the reports and whatever, but it's like Coughlin's on the hot seat. Reese has job security, and it's like, screw that, man. Jerry Reese has given him trash. I mean, what was the plan at safety? I mean, Merriweather's decent against the run, and then everyone's like, well, Collins is a rookie. And I agree, yeah, we can't expect him to come in and fill Antoine Roll's position flawlessly, like seamlessly, but that needs to be taken into account for. You know, if we want to use the, well, he's a rookie, then that wasn't a solid plan going into the season.
Well, you got to develop some of your draft picks. I mean,
no, I get that completely. I agree. I mean, I'm glad he's been playing time. But my thing is, like, we went into the season knowing we were going to completely rely on someone who's going to have a lot of growing pains. And then we're going to pair him up with, you know, a guy who's overachieved and is still horrible in coverage. Oh, and by the way, he's hurt. Now we got Craig Dahl back there. And, you know, Prince Amukamara is another guy that, like, we talk about as Giants fans as, like, a good player, but he's slightly above average if you were to put him on another team. But for the Giants, he's good. So we talk about, like, oh, our corners are great. No, like, we have below average players, and whose fault is that? Missing in the draft, giving people huge contracts who don't deserve them, that's Reeves. Like, I feel like sometimes I just don't understand the support, you know, the unwavering support for him.
All right, Greg, we appreciate the call, my friend.
Yep, we got to move on.
Thank you, pal.
You so much.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Kevin in New Jersey. Kevin, what's going on?
Kevin?
Hey, so I think that the previous caller actually made some great points. I've been following the Giants for too long to talk about, but since the baton got passed from Charlie Connerly to Wyatt Tittle, so needless to say, I've seen a lot of the high highs and the low lows. But here's the thing. The punchline for me, as much as it pains me to say, is that this team, this product that we have on the field, is just not very good. I'm not going to go through the individual players. I mean, we all know, Beckham is outstanding. I think Manning above average. I think Cromartie, as was alluded to, he's worth talking about. But we got a lot of guys who, frankly, are good enough to lose with. And you know, that's evidenced week after week by this whole sermonizing that you hear from the head coach, about the inability to finish, the inability to finish, by and large, is a function of talent. It's not about attitude. It's not about spirit. It's not, none of those things.
No, Kevin, I think you're 100% right, and I think people downplay that a little bit when you talk about finishing, and they like to blame, motivation or scheme or coaching. But I think it comes down to, a lot of the times, whether or not the guys on the field are good enough to make the plays they have to make in order to win games at the end, because at that point, everyone's giving it their best. Everyone's going 100%. Are your guys going to outplay the guy across from them? And I think a lot of times you're right. It does come down to that.
And your guy, the guy that's lining up across from you, I mean, it sometimes just isn't that good. I mean, that's just it's just the way it is. And I mean, this team is made up of, who it is. That's it. You're looking at them, right? A product of this is also injuries and guys that are playing in there that are backups. And it shouldn't be an excuse. And I think it gets layered even further when you start talking about draft picks and free agents and developing players and this and that. Injuries have a big part of that. Guys get older, they have a part of that. The young guys just aren't as good as you thought they would be. So it's all of this goes into putting up and making up a team. And really, when you look at the teams that have done really, really well, it makes you appreciate the depth that you have behind those starters. Because sometimes you look at the way that the Giants, they don't, sometimes they just don't have depth at certain positions, and it really comes back to haunt them.
No, I think, Jeff, I think you're spot on. And, my thing there, and I've written fruitlessly, I might add, to John Mara at the end of the last several seasons, and really have questioned, why is there undying allegiance to the performance of Jerry Reese? Because I really do think that it's his office, him personally and his office, that's responsible for that continuity, for the backup and whatnot. And I think what happens now is, yes, Coach Coughlin, right, he's being put on the hot seat. Now all of a sudden this decision from yesterday is this big pivotal thing that people want to talk and write about. Well, the fact is, in Coach Coughlin's case, I would bet dollars to donuts, part of the reason he's not following the normal protocol or the percentages and this and that is because he has no real faith in the fourth quarter performance of his team because of what the facts tell him.
Well, he said
the defense,
that.
Defense can't stop anybody, and the offense, by being unable to run the ball effectively, can't control the clock. So, he ends up throwing some caution to the wind, and now he's being ridiculed for it.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate the call, my friend. Good points.
I'm going to also just comment on that. I think a lot of times you can say, all right, you want to point the finger at Jerry Reese or whoever you want to do it at. And there's probably some truth to a little bit of that. The other thing is that every team brings in players. And I feel, I played in the league a long time to know this, is that when you're given an opportunity to play on an NFL football team and to put this helmet on with whatever emblem is on the side of it.
Well, you're good at dislodging.
I know, right? I create turnovers.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
Knock it out.
You're killing me.
But you have a distinct opportunity given to you as a player to do the best that you can. And that means on and off the field, in the classroom, in the meeting, whatever it is. But if you're not able to play at that level, then you're going to be gone. Okay? So I think that from a player's perspective, I think I might have told you this before, John, that every year that I played in the National Football League, I was always afraid to lose my job. I really was. And even though that I knew that I was still a Pro Bowl player 1 year or this and that.
Dude,
I
Tom
always,
Coughlin loved you.
I love because, but that's the mindset that
you
every
would still
player
be
should have.
Today if you wanted to.
Absolutely. I would. But you don't get that from everybody.
Right.
People take advantage of the situations. They take advantage of them going in and picking up that paycheck every Wednesday. You know what? Eventually, that kind of guy is going to get run out of this building or any other building, and they're going to find somebody else to replace them. And we talk about guys making plays. That's up to those guys, and it's not up to the coach to have him make a play. He's tired of saying it is what he's doing. So that's just kind of a little bit of to kind of piggyback on what the two callers were asking about. But you got to put some onus on the player, too. It can't be all on the organization. And I just feel strongly about that. I really do.
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. And I apologize, I got to get three of these in the next 15 minutes. The daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's go to Christian in New York. Christian, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. I'm seeing a lot of reports where a lot of guys want to point out that, Odell does so much in the game, but he can't find a way to win.
Oh, that's not.
Talking about the record while he's on the team.
How much do you want the kid to do? I mean, he can't play defense.
There's nine other guys on the offense, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's practically the reason why we're even competitive in these games. I mean, if anything, you should be complimenting him for saying, wow, at the receiver position, he's almost carrying us through these games.
Almost.
Here when
he
we
is.
Win.
He is carrying. Not almost. He is. He is. I mean, it's insane what that guy is doing. It really is. I mean, he is
really
just
good.
And John said it earlier.
That one-handed catch in the first quarter. I mean, do you know how the velocity on that ball?
Two guys on him. If some of the guys on this team or any other team had the work ethic and the thing. This John said it, and we're around this guy at practice, and John is more than I am in the building. That kid wants to win at everything he does.
Well, and I said this, last year too. You know, he had a great game yesterday. What was his stats? What did he finish with? By the way, he finished with 149 yards with six catches and a touchdown and a 72-yard touchdown. And you would have thought the guy's dog died after the game. He didn't care. In fact, he's tired of making these great plays in games and then the team losing.
Yeah.
He's had three great one-handed catches. All three have been losses. You think he looks back fondly on these great catches? He doesn't give a damn. He wants to win the game.
Well, he actually said it. He said somebody had mentioned that, you know, about that and the catches and the yards and the most. He says, I'd rather have Super Bowl. And, you know, that might be the generic term or answer, but he means it. He really does mean it. I would believe him more than anybody if he said it when he said that, because some guys just that's the company line. Oh, I'd rather have Super Bowl than that. You know,
and
I think
he has throughout this year, and whether it's the tough losses that have done it, I feel like he has matured.
He's gotten
the year.
Actually, I was sitting next to Toomer last night in the game or yesterday, and he said, you know, Figs, this guy has gotten better and better this year. Every week. It just seems his maturity and just the way he runs, and he's just keeps getting better. How much better can this guy get?
Yeah, seriously. What else you got, Christian?
Yeah, actually, the media tried setting him up.
Oh, of course.
By asking him, you know, what do you think of what Antonio Cromartie said about you? And, you know, he really took the mature route, like you guys were saying. But
well, Christian, real quick, and I'll let you finish. After the game, they also tried to set him up with the question, is it frustrating for you having all these great games but the team keeps losing? Hmm. Trying to get him to call out his teammates, and he goes, well, if we want to win games, I guess I just have to do more.
Yeah.
And he put it on his shoulder.
Sure.
So you're absolutely right. Now finish up. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Another thing is, like, a lot of these people are talking about Tom Coughlin here, about how, you know, how are you losing all these close games. But I really think it's just more about being a few players away, and that's why we're consistently almost being in position to win these games, like, right at the end. I really hate to see Coughlin get blamed because, you know, he's just missing so many guys, like always. And, you know, I think that's why we're seeing the trend of almost winning these games, because they're just a few players away.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Christian.
I mean, you look at what the Panthers did a few years ago. They were one game away from firing their coach, Ron Rivera.
Oh, yeah. And then they backdoored it into the playoffs.
And you make a good point where, you know, these guys, the Giants have been in these games. They've been in every game other than, I think, the Eagle game where they just got absolutely slaughtered. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes you are one or two players away and one transaction away, because I'm just trying to make a similarity between – now look at the Panthers 2 years later. I mean, they're not even 2 years.
Or
like
not
a
even
year and – year and a half.
And here's
maybe
the thing. You might be one or two plays away, but those could be made by one of those one or two players. Because the
exactly,
better the player,
yeah,
the better chance,
yeah,
they have,
yeah,
of making a play.
Right. You know, the Giants, they get their running game going, or
right,
there's just a couple things happen. Key things that could happen. So
201-939-4513. All right, we got four calls in 10 minutes. We'll get you all in before we say goodbye at 1 o'clock.
Gotta be
remember,
quick.
Fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you want to pick up your cash, simple as that, go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Drew in Virginia, you're up next. Drew, how are you?
Drew.
Hey, John, Lance, how you guys doing?
It's John and Jeff, by the way.
John and Jeff.
That's okay, man.
Yeah,
all right, Drew, what do you
know,
got today, pal?
Hey, man, Jeff is my boy, man. I really like Jeff. No, I do. I really like Jeff because, you know, and I'm going to say this, man. I mean, I listen to the shows a lot, and, you know, I'll just say there's hosts that I like and I don't. But the one of the things that I really like about Jeff is that, you know, he really does bring perspective to the
thank you. I appreciate,
you know,
it,
to
Drew,
the table, and I really appreciate that.
What do you got in perspective today? Something
I am happy
positive?
To bring no perspective from,
no,
from my position. I'm just kidding, Drew. Go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
You know, I just really appreciate Jeff's perspective. Actually, man, you know, honestly, if I always call into you guys and really nobody else, so I do appreciate you guys.
Well
said,
thank you for,
man,
calling
and
listening,
kind
Drew.
Of
go
feel
ahead.
Like sometimes, man, you guys, and I'm saying you guys in general, you know, are more apologetic than anything else, and tend to, you know, shy us away from what our lying eyes are really seeing. But, you know, that said, man, for me, I watched the game. I watched the game yesterday, and I was actually up in D.C. last week with my family. They're all Redskins fans, so I'm the only Giants fan
Hello,
up
boy.
There. And I watched the game, and you know, that there's a lot of problems with this team, I think, man. And I do have to also look at coaching, too, because coaches has lost us games, special teams, defense, offense. I mean, yeah, there's problems all over the place. And, yeah, maybe we're pushing it because I kind of felt the same way. I kind of felt like Coughlin, in my opinion, I felt like Coughlin put his job on the line and making that call. Yesterday, personally, I don't see how he didn't go for the 3 points. You know, we can debate that all day and all night long, but the bottom line is, yet we have another loss, and yet there's another questionable decision by Coughlin.
Hey, Drew, I will say this, and I think one thing you said is something that everyone in this organization will parrot, is that you can't just point the finger at one place. You
No.
know, there are issues, you know, from every layer, and you know, Jerry Reese spoke at the bye week. He goes, every win or loss is on me. Tom Coughlin, every win or loss is on me. The players, every win or loss is on us. So, you know, this is the team effort here. Nobody's pointing a finger at anybody else, and everyone's responsible for what goes down here. And trust me, after the last couple of seasons, everyone here knows how important it is to do well this season.
Hey, Drew, let me ask you a question real quickly. You think people would be talking about that play if they had just kicked the field goal? And would you think that people would have been saying, you know what, they should have went for the touchdown there?
You know, again, I mean, and you know, it's hard to say, Jeff. And I put it to you this way. I mean, it really is. You know, to me, 13 points is better than 10. You got to force two touchdowns.
To beat
so
you.
To me, I look at it. I'm just saying. For me, I'm looking at it from a percentage standpoint.
Right.
Yes, we as Giants. I mean, first and foremost, okay. There's no doubt that we would have loved to have taken the touchdown. There's no doubt for that. In my opinion, you got to go for the touchdown. This is a conversation I've had a couple of weeks ago. However, we also need to be cognizant of the fact that we got to take points when they're there. And it was just devastating. I mean, we had, like, it seemed like a million-minute drive, okay? And in the end, for the second week in a row, Eli throws an interception in the red zone. It's killer. It's disheartening and everything else. Yeah, you know, hindsight being what it is right now, if we're up by 13, you know, who's to say that we don't win the game? You know, I know Coughlin got a little snippy yesterday when the when the reporters asked him, you know, should he have taken, you know, the field goal as opposed to the points, and Coughlin is like, well, you know, who's to say they wouldn't have drove down and scored two touchdowns? Yeah, you know, yeah, maybe that's true. However, okay, but again, when you got to go for a touchdown as opposed to a field goal, that's more pressure. So I don't know, Jeff. It's kind of hard to say, yeah, I would have loved to have seen a touchdown, but okay, when we got to fourth down, kick the points. Yeah, it's disheartening. Kick the points, and your defense got to make play. That said, I understand Coughlin. I can understand why Coughlin is getting a little aggressive at times, because he has finally, in my opinion, come to the realization that this defense isn't stopping anybody.
Thank you, Drew. We appreciate
Hang in there,
the call.
Drew, and thanks for calling,
there,
as always, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the callers said it before, you know, can you blame Tom? Maybe spooked is the wrong word, but for the memories of this season and how the defense has come up short at the end of these games, for that to affect his thinking? I get it. I get it.
Of course. We all get it. This isn't a point where we don't – this is very – it's cut and dry. You kind of understand it.
I want to jump to line four because Brandon wants to talk about the same thing that that Drew did. Maybe he wants to add on to this decision thing, and then we'll move on to the other two guys. Brandon, what do you got?
Well – I personally think it's the worst decision Coughlin made in his entire coaching career. Going forward at seven.
The worst
really,
ever.
You know, you got to realize your offense only gave you 10 points. Your special teams gave you seven. Defense gave you a turnover. You got to at least think that your defense, for two touchdowns, with not a lot of time left, can hold the game.
Brandon, how? Brandon,
9 minutes.
Brandon,
field goal and a touchdown.
Brandon, real quick, there were 9 minutes left in the game. How many yards did the Jets get over the course of that game?
Tons.
463. They were inside the Giants' 10 on their next drive and had it first and goal at the 7. They did all the hard work. They got it down inside
the
10 yard line. They were inside the 10. Two straight drives in the fourth quarter. So, coach was right. He anticipated that his defense wouldn't be able to stop the Jets from getting into the position to score a touchdown. And quite frankly, he ended up being right in that situation. Now, the Jets ended up kicking the field goal on that first drive. But again, if they knew they needed the touchdown, who's to say they wouldn't have been able to punch it in on that fourth down or that third down play wouldn't have been a little bit different? That's all I'm saying. What else you got, Brandon?
No, that was it. I mean, I really think it was. And Reuben Randall's just absolute garbage. We can't sign him next year. He's third wide receiver at best. With all the skill sets too that he has, he just doesn't have it in his heart. I think Coughlin just put his defense in a really, really bad situation there, and really awful loss. I knew as soon as he went for it, game's over. As soon as he decided to go for it, that game was over.
All right, Brandon.
And unfortunately, it's probably going to end his career too on that. But all right, you guys have a great day.
Hey, you too,
Thank
Brandon.
You, man.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Look, there's still a lot of time left. Anything can happen. We'll see what happens with the Redskins tonight. Now the Eagles all of a sudden back in the mix. NFC East is interesting. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. We'll go over Jets picks tomorrow when he's not here. I didn't actually look how we did yesterday.
I didn't either, but I think I did good.
Who'd you have? Do you remember?
I had Andy Dalton. I had
that's a good pick.
I had Jeffries.
Eh,
Alshon Jeffries.
He did not do that well.
And the running back, I had
yards.
Martin for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think he had a pretty good game.
Okay.
All right, that's not bad. All right, let's go to Gary in North Carolina. Gary, what's up?
Hey, guys. This is Gary, first-time caller.
Yeah, Gary. You know what? Gary, I'm just warning you. We're a little bit against the end of the show here, so you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
What do you got, Gary?
I just wanted to ask Jeff just looking at our team and how good at times they're playing, how bad. You know, we used to have a lot of good leadership on both sides
yes.
of the ball, especially on defense. Do you think that that's something we're missing this year?
I do. I believe that is a missing component. It's not something you can just automatically plug in. Leadership is kind of acquired, and it's actually with guys that, you know, that are in the locker room that kind of take over. I'm not in that locker room, so I can't exactly tell you who the real leaders are in there, because sometimes they're in the locker room and they're not on the field and vice versa. But to me, I think that in times where leaders have to step up or in close games and to get the players get going, because there has to be some type of leadership on the field. And at times I think it is missing. Yes, I do.
All right. Thanks for the call, Gary.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It, my friend. Nugs in Minnesota. He's going to wrap us up. Nugs, you have 60 seconds. Thanks, pal.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, Nugs. Go ahead. Make your point.
I didn't really have much of a point to make. All I wanted to say is that I haven't cried watching our team lose since the Emmitt Smith game, where he had the broken ribs and the shoulder and ran all over us.
92 or 3.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah, either 92 or 93. Yeah. I don't remember which year.
Yeah, and so all I got to say is I can see why Coughlin made that decision, but when I knew we weren't going to get it, I knew something bad was going to happen, and I told my girlfriend we're going to lose this game 23-20 as soon as we threw that pick. And I had to spend I spent the rest of the day not looking her in the eye, because I was like crying, because like I've watched my team with so much potential. It's like I have to wait till next year, and that's all I really have to say is that I was just so disappointed yesterday. Like even if you know you don't have faith in your defense to stop them from scoring two touchdowns, they'd only scored 10 points up to that point.
Yeah.
Take the field goal.
Well, you know what? So, you had a lot of people up in Minnesota crying with you yesterday too, didn't you? Are you in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm in Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah, the Vikings did not have a very good game yesterday.
So you weren't alone up there yesterday.
The Vikings kind of expected. All the Vikings fans knew that Seattle was going to come in here and beat them. They didn't think it was going to be that
really?
Bad.
Wow.
So they were actually taking it pretty good.
Okay.
I spent the rest of my day wiping my eyes and, I just feel really bad.
Hang in there.
I cannot, and thanks for the call, Nugs. I couldn't believe, I'm not surprised the Seahawks went out there and won, but I am surprised that Russell Wilson was able to move the ball like
defense,
he did. The Viking
yeah.
defense is pretty darn good. They were second in points
yeah.
heading into this week.
And watch
see.
Out for them. They're 7-5 now, right?
Yeah, it was 93, by the way, that Emmitt Smith game against the Giants.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. They went to the Super Bowl that year, right?
Yeah, that was their second one. Then Jimmy Johnson left after that year.
And Switzer came in.
So 94, they didn't go. That's that 3 turnover game against the Niners. And then 95, they beat
they
the
came
Steelers.
Back, yeah.
Right. All right, everybody. Good job on the phones. Mr.
Job,
Beagles,
guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry for being a little bit late on today. I will do better tomorrow. It'll be me and Meadow. You can bother Lance. I will, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Everybody have a great one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through.